Welcome to Torah Tzimecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Waxak, and today we will be learning Parshat Vayelech. Parshat Vayelech continues with its narration of the final days of Moshe's life. It begins with the words, Vayelech Moshe, Vayedaber et hadvarim ha'ela el kol Yisrael. Moshe went and spoke these things to all of Israel. The Ibn Ezra tells us, Vayelech, he went, halach el kol shevet v'shevet, he went to each tribe, Lahodia shehu meit, to let them know that he was going to die, shelo yifchadu, that they should not be scared, v'chazik libam b'divrei Yehoshua, and they should strengthen them with his, and he strengthened them with his words to Yehoshua. After renewing the covenant with all the Jews and reassuring them, as we discussed in last week's recording, Moshe is now taking the time to circulate amongst the people, to visit each shevet and reassure them about the future they are about to face without him. Moshe clearly states to the people that he will not be entering the land with them, and that Hashem will lead them into the land. He adds that Yehoshua will go before them, according to the word of Hashem. Moshe reminds them of past victories and promises that their future in the land is assured. Moshe calls Yehoshua forward and gives him a pep talk. Moshe writes down the Torah and gives it to the Kohanim and Levim to be kept within the Aaron. Moshe then commands the mitzvah of Hakel, when every single Jew must gather during Sukkot after the Shemitah year, so once every 7 years, and hear the king address all the Jews by reading from the Torah. Hashem then addresses Moshe and warns Moshe that following his death, the Jews will sin. This will lead Hashem to hide and allow tribulation to befall them. This is then followed by the commandment to write down the Shira and teach it to all the Jews. The parsha ends with Moshe sharing his newly authored Sefer Torah with the Jews via Yehoshua and the priests. He gathered these leaders and prepares to address the people one last time, which will be next week in Parshat Hazinu. There's a phrase that appears multiple times in the parsha, and that phrase is Chazak v'yamatz, be strong and resolute. Moshe uses this phrase to encourage both the Jews and Yehoshua. Interestingly, this phrase will reappear in Hashem's speech of encouragement to Yehoshua in Yehoshua Perek Aleph. Moshe is aware that this is a perilous time for the Jews. The Jews have only existed as a people with Moshe in charge. In fact, when he was gone, the Jews quickly ended up worshipping an Egel. The transition to a second generation of leadership is always a fraught one. This transition from a sheltered Midbar experience, guided by the greatest Navi who will ever live, to a land that is full of idolatrous inhabitants without Moshe will be doubly difficult. Moshe is trying to set up the next generation of leaders for success. By explicitly announcing that Yehoshua will be the next leader, Moshe is ensuring that there will be no jockeying for power. Rather, there will be a smooth transition to leadership, as in fact we do see at the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua. To shore up this transition, Moshe gives two final commandments. They are located specifically here, not in the earlier mitzvah speech, because they are critical to this transition of leadership, to this point where the Jews are about to enter the land. We will examine each one and see how each will be a support to the new leaders. The first commandment is that of Hakel. A peculiar aspect of Hakel is the emphasis on every single member of the nation attending. Hakel et ha'am, ha'anashim v'hanashim v'hataf, v'ger ha'sheb sherecha. Gather the people, the men, the women, the children, and even the strangers in your communities. L'man yishmu'u, so that they will hear, u'l'man yilmadu, and that they may learn, v'yir'u et Hashem elokechem, and they will revere Hashem your God, v'shamru lasot et kol divrei ha'Torah hazot, and they will faithfully observe every word of this teaching of the Torah. U'bneihem asher lo yad'u, yishmu'u v'lamdu, and the children who don't know, they will hear and they will learn, li'yirat Hashem elokechem, to be in awe of Hashem your God, kol hayamim asher atem chayim al hadma, all the days where you are living on this land, asher atem ovrim et hayarden sham al yishta, to live in this land that you are about to cross the land to possess. The text explicitly mentions that every man, woman, and child must attend. One can only imagine the chaotic atmosphere that would result from every family bringing every baby and toddler. Why? Why do children who cannot possibly understand the reading of the Torah or the speech that the king will give need to be there? The answer is that Hakel is about more than listening to a speech. The shorish of the word Hakel is kahal, a gathering. This word has a complex history in Tanakh. Kahal is always used when people are coming together for a common purpose, going beyond the needs of the individual and being a community. However, it is not always good. The word first appears during Chet Ha'egel, Vayar Ha'am Ki Bo Shesh Moshe Leredes Min Ahar, and the people saw that Moshe was delayed in coming down from the mountain, Vayikahel Ha'am Al Aharon. And the people gathered against Aaron, Vayomar Elav, Kum Aseilanu Elohim, Get up, make for us a god, an avodah zarah. The next time we see it is when the Jews are coming together to construct the Mishkan. Vayakel Moshe et kol adat b'nei Yisrael. And Moshe convenes all of the Jews of b'nei Yisrael. Vayomer aleihem, eilah dvarim asher tzivah Hashem lasot otam, and said, these are the things that Hashem has commanded you to do. And so it goes. The word appears when the Jews in the time of the Shoftim are gathering to mask or shave a Binyamin. And then again, when the Jews in the time of Esther are uniting as an exilic community to recognize their salvation as being godly. Rabbi Sacks points out that the difference between these two types of stories is one of leadership. In stories without clear leadership, the people devolve into a mob that seizes on and runs with ideas that devolve into spiritual catastrophe. However, when there is clear leadership, when the people have, quote, a sense of common purpose, of helping to bring something into being that was greater than anyone can achieve alone, end quote, the people come together for a common constructive purpose. Together they become a community that is greater than the sum of its parts. With this understanding, we can re-examine our Hakel gathering. It's about far more than hearing a speech. It is about knitting the Jewish people together for a common purpose, with a common narrative and story. The Rambam in Hilchot Chagiga explains the ceremony in greater detail. After the king ascends to the Bima and reads the appropriate portions of the Torah, the king would add seven blessings. The first blessing is Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu Ba'amcha Yisrael. Hashem, please desire your nation Israel. We ask Hashem to want to be connected to us. The second is Modim, where we thank Hashem for all that Hashem has done for us. The third blessing is Ata Bachartanu Mikol Ha'amim, all the way until Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim. You have chosen us from all the nations, and you have sanctified us. These brachot appear just as we find them today in the Shemona Asrei. The fourth blessing is a blessing for the Mikdash, that it should remain standing, and that we conclude this blessing with Hashochein B'Tzion. The fifth bracha is that the kingdom should prevail, and this one ends with Habocher B'Yisrael. Sixth, the king davens for the Kohanim, whose worship Hashem desires, and he ends with Hamikadesh HaKohanim, who blesses the Kohanim. And the seventh bracha, in the language of the Rambam, he is Mitchanein U'mitpalel Ba'kefima Shehu Yachol, that the king pleads and prays according to his abilities, V'chotem Ba, and then the king ends the bracha, Hosha Hashem et Amcha Yisrael, Hashem, deliver your nation Israel, Sha'amcha tzrichin lihivashea, because your nation is in need of salvation. Baruch atah Hashem shomea tefillah. You are the source of all bracha, who hears our davening. Hakel is more than just a recitation of the Torah. The blessing the kings recite highlight who we are as a people and what we want, what we believe in, what we stand for, and what we want from our future. Simon Sinek, in his book, Start With Why, How Great Leaders Inspire Everyone to Take Action, tells us, quote, the role of a leader is not to come up with all the great ideas. The role of a leader is to create an environment in which great ideas can happen, end quote. Hakel is about gathering of the Jews for a purpose, to become a people. This is not something that can be assumed will happen on its own. It's something we need to prioritize, to schedule, and to do even when it gets difficult. We need all of the Jews there, even the ones too young to understand and really participate. Rav Gigi points out that children absorb via the environment, and by being present, we are helping to form a nascent communitarian identity within them. Hakel can also therefore serve as an integral part of the Mesorah. As Rav Gigi says, quote, there must be a permanent spiritual leadership which bridges the generations and maintains stability in order that the nation of Israel will always be the flock of their shepherd, end quote. Following the command for Hakel, Hashem tells Moshe that he's going to die soon. Hashem then gives Moshe the second commandment of our parsha, Va'ata kitvu lachem et hashira hazot, and therefore now write down this song, V'lamdad b'nei Yisrael, and teach it to the people of Israel, to the children of Israel, Sima b'pihem, that they should put it in their mouth, L'manti yali hashira hazot l'aid b'bnei Yisrael, so that this poem, this song, can be a witness for me amongst the Jews. There is some debate as to what exactly this shira is. Some, like Rashi and the Ramban, assume this is referring to Shirat Hazinu, which is next week's parsha. Others assume that this refers to all the Sefer Dvarim. Despite the context of a command specific to Moshe, this pasuk is understood as one of the 613 mitzvot. The mitzvah of Ketivat Sefer Torah is interpreted in a variety of ways. Some understand in its simple meaning to write or pay to have written an actual physical Sefer Torah. Others, most notably Rabbeinu Asher, based on the text which makes it clear that the purpose is to maximize public learning, understand this as having materials from which to learn Torah, like Svarim, accessible to you. By doing this, we ensure the continuity of the Torah. Interestingly, this mitzvah includes the words Sima Bepihem, put them in your mouth. We are required to put the words of Torah in our mouth. Rav Lichtenstein points out, quote, first, every person needs to work on himself or herself to inculcate Torah on a personal level. Every person needs to strive to help others absorb Torah and Torah values so they can become to the full extent of possible, quote, placed in their mouths, end quote. This is encompassed in the Berachat HaTorah we recite each morning when we say, Asher kedishanu b'mitzvotav tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah, that we are, who commanded us with our mitzvot to toil in the words of Torah. We're not commanded to master Torah or even to know Torah. Rather, we're commanded to busy ourselves with the words of Torah. We acknowledge that the results are out of our control. We do all we can to put the Torah in our mouth, but we may not be able to make it stay. We must make sure we write a Torah, whether a literal scroll or resources with which to learn, but we may not remember it at all. Rav Schwab, in his commentary to the Siddur, points out that after the bracha of Lasok b'divrei Torah, we say, V'ha'erev na Hashem Elokeinu et divrei Torah tzcha b'fiyu. Please, Hashem, sweeten the words of Torah in our mouth. Quote, once we have made an effort to apply ourselves to learning, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make the words of the Torah sweet to us. As a result of the la'asuk, the hard work which we expend, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make it pleasant and sweet for us, end quote. In our parsha, we see Moshe, and by extension the people, being commanded to write the Torah, but not commanded to master it or know it perfectly. Rather, we are commanded to toil, to place it in our mouths. This striving shapes our identity. As Rabbi Sacks tells us, quote, people who carry their past with them can build the future without fear, end quote. Writing the Torah is about saying who we are. It's a starting with why in our individual lives. When we began our examination of this parsha, we discussed how it was about the transition from the first generation of national leadership to the next generation and the fraught nature of that transition. Moshe in this parsha gives us two mitzvot that are key to successful navigation, Hakel and Ktiva Sefer Torah. While divergent, they are both at their core about powering forward identity, albeit, as Rabbi Sacks points out, one on the national level and one on a personal level. The key to navigating the change and transition is to have a grounded sense of who you are and to actively behave in ways which support the values you stand for. What is the Hakel for us? The ceremonies and practices that ground us in purpose and community. How do we make the Torah our own? These are the questions that Moshe answered for the Jews of the desert, and is incumbent on us to ensure that we find the answers within our own life and to make sure that we live the values that we espouse.